this guy. Radhe, Radhe. And we'll just read the verse. Ityevam darshayantyastash cheru gopyo vichetasa vichetasa yam gopim anayat krishno vihayanyastriyovane sachamene tadatmanam vrishtam sravayoshitam hitva hitva gopi kamayana mamaso bhajate priya. Translation by our God Brothers, BBT. As the gopis wander about, their minds become completely bewildered as they point out the various signs of Krishna's pastimes. The particular gopi whom Krishna had led into a secluded forest, when he abandoned all the other gopis, she began to think of herself as the best of women. This, of course, this is Radharani, but the Bhagavatam is not directly telling. So that best of gopis, she was thinking like this: my beloved has rejected all the other gopis except me, even though they are also controlled by Cupid personified, and he has chosen to reciprocate with me alone. I just had a small comment. This is verse 36. There's 35 and 36. I'm saying here that we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rupa Goswami's teachings, rather Mahaprabhu's teachings to Rupa Goswami, he cites this particular verse there, and this verse 36, and the one we'll start today, verse 37, and teaching Rupa Goswami as examples of pranayaman. There's different types of pride that arises, transcendental pride that arises in the minds of the gopis, like Radharani and her rival, Chandravali, and one is called pranaya, pranayaman. So what is that exactly? And the definition is that it's a type of self-pride which arises from extreme intimacies and oneness with the lover. So man, as you know, we have a whole place dedicated to Radharani's man in Barsana, one of the four heads of Brahma is dedicated to Radharani's contrary, opposing mood of man. So man means jealousy, man means sulking, man means pride. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's talking about man, he says we should be free from pride because pride is the enemy of prema and it's the foundation of demoniac mentality, dumba. So he's addressing the meaning of pride being that, an egoistic mood, a proud, egoistic, independent, selfish mood which separates from one from the love of Krishna and the nitya seva of Krishna. But there's also a form of pride which is jealousy Krishna went with this, he went with this other gopi, now I'm going to show my pride and I have my self-dignity and my self-worth, and who is that other gopi? And so then Radharani shows a very contrary and opposing nature. And sometimes it's translated as jealousy, but it's really her her self-pride, her self-worth is being insulted because Krishna has minimized her position. But there's different forms. Jiva Goswami was explaining yesterday, there's man which arises in separation from Krishna when Krishna's with some other gopi. So the whole man mandir and Varsana, the one head of Brahma, is one mountain. Called Gar, Mangar, and that's Manini Radharani. She has a whole name, Manini Radharani. In that case, Radharani is showing unfavorable mood to Krishna because he stood her up. But in this case of Pranayaman, there's man in separation, there's also man when you're with Krishna. So Radharani is directly with Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is pointing out, he's describing this Pranayaman in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's due to supreme intimacies and oneness with the lover. So Lord Chaitanya cites these two verses of the Rasa-lila to describe the nature of kevala shuddha prema, which obviously it means the unadulterated, pure and immaculate transcendental love, unique pure love of the Braja Gopis, especially Srimati Radharani. So I just thought we could read this. Kevala shuddha madhurya, vrati, which means unmotivated, unmixed, absolutely pure, transcendental, amorous love, which is quite a lot of adjectives to describe the special divine nature of their love. Just to make sure that we don't equate, we don't relativize or equate the transcendental loving affairs and romantic activities of Radha and Krishna with anything that we do in this world. And we can see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because by mixing Gaur Lila with Krishna Lila, then we're able to more quickly get an access into Krishna Lila and get acceptance there. Because our whole introduction to Krishna Lila and Krishna in general, and especially Radha and Krishna's love, is through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his followers. Because without Mahaprabhu coming to show this intense Vishuddha Shringarati of Radha and Krishna, we would not know what it's about. He came to experience Radharani's Gopi Bhav, Mahabhav. He came to distribute Mahabhav and to teach everyone about Mahabhav, especially Radharani's loving mood and Gopi Bhav in general. So in these verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Mahaprabhu's teachings to Rupa Goswami Pad. Verses 231 through 236 of chapter 19 of Bhakti Lila. So we like to read that and hear about. We're sitting here right now, 2018, with devotees, and we're discussing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, especially the Ras Lila, which is the crowning gem of all the pastimes of Krishna's entire manifestation, this world. And Acharyas say that the Ras Lila is the smiling face of Krishna. And the whole Bhagavatam is Krishna's body, which is explained in Skanda Puran and Padma Puran. First and second canto are Krishna's. It's a metaphor. Krishna's transcendental lotus feet and his legs. And then third canto is his thighs. And fourth canto is his belly. And it works up to the 10th canto is Krishna's head. And then the 11th canto is his mukut. Let's say his crown. And the 12th canto is maybe the peacock feather. The crowning, the final point. So that it's the final point, the 12th canto, it's the conclusion. But it doesn't mean it's the topmost teachings. It doesn't mean it's the topmost expression of Krishna's divinity or his rasatva, his embodiment and display and relishing of all the rasas. That's back in the 10th canto. So some people say, why bother with the 11th canto and the 12th canto? Because we reached the zenith. We reach the topmost perfectional point of love and tattva in the form of Krishna in the 10th canto and especially in the Leelas. But the Acharyas say the 11th canto is kind of a philosophical summary. The 11th canto is a philosophical summary of the essential teachings of the Bhagavad Gita given to Arjuna and of all the teachings of the Bhagavatam. And therefore, the primary part of the 11th canto is the Uddhava Gita. And this is the summary of all the Bhagavad Shiksha and all the Bhagavad Gita. You'll see we made a comparison chart once comparing chapters of the 11th canto with chapters of the Gita. There are many same chapters. So then the 12th canto is simply, it's about the future, it's about now. And we're seeing it right now in front of our eyes. All the various predictions, many of them are quite accurate. And it's a matter of time reference. And in fact, in one sense, when you read the predictions of the age of Kali in 12th canto, you become a little bit amazed that what is predicted for the very end portion of Kali Yuga seems to be happening already. And some acharyas and philosophers and Gaudiya Vaishnavas also, and Vaishnavas, they speculate that somehow the understanding of the time factor is different than what we see and what we read about. Because Kali Yuga is supposed to be 4,32,000 years, and only 5,000 are gone. But already practically all the things that are described that will manifest in the entirety of Kali Yuga are already running in some small degree in small pocket ways in various countries. One country may be untouched by many of these negative, disastrous and destructive features predicted in the Bhagavatam. In other countries, it's, you know, you compare New Zealand to America, and America is like leading the way in Kali degradation. and violence and craziness. But some far remote place like New Zealand, maybe somewhat still civilized and you know, in the earlier part of Kali Yuga. At least we hope to think like that. So this is something. But now, as we're sitting hearing about the Rasa-lila and trying to benefit from the teachings, well, 500 years ago, Mahaprabhu is sitting with Rupa Goswami and discussing Rasa-lila. And he's publicly and for the benefit of all when he spoke to Rupa. So he's teaching not only tattva in Rupa's Shiksha, Sanatana Shiksha. Mahaprabhu is teaching the tattva and Siddhanta and the facts and the truths and the spiritual foundation of the whole lila. But he's also explaining, revealing the in a capsule way, summary way, the lila, the rasas, and the exchanges of different bhavas and ratis that take place in Krishna and Radharani's lilas in Vrindavan, so that Rupa Goswami could understand the basis of tattva and rasa and later expand it in books like Lalita Madhav and Ujjwala Nilamani and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then when Lord Chaitanya was alone in the Gambira with Lalita and Vishakha, Lalita and Vishakha means Ramananda Roy, or rather Vishakha, I mean, Ramananda Roy is Vishakha, then Lalita is sort of Damodar, then all the intimacies, only Ras, Rasaswaran. Mahaprabhu is only relishing the Ras with Lalita. Mahaprabhu is in Radhabhav, he's Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Sakshat Krishna, Jagat Guru Sri Krishna. But he's relishing Radharani's Mahabhav with his nourishers, because it says in Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4, that why are all the Sakis and Mantris there? For Poshana, Rasa Poshana. They nourish and enhance and deepen and enrichen the pastimes and flavors of Ras that Radha and Krishna experience when they're together. So they're very necessary. It's called poshana. Poshana means to nourish. So therefore now when Mahaprabhu is relishing Radharani's Mahabhav, Lita and Vishakha are there to enrich it and nourish it. Like you may have milk and you're just mixing it, and then someone comes in and says, oh, let's add some crushed cashew powder to your milk mix, and let's add some mango, and let's add some camphor. And black pepper and different spices that will just, then it becomes a rasala. Rather than just milk, it becomes a rasala, because a mixture of different rasas. It becomes very satisfying, fulfilling, much more than just milk. There's milk and there's milkshake. So if you had your choice, it's obvious what you would choose. So the same thing, it's not a very apt analogy, but the idea of the enrichment and the enhancement and increasing of the overall pleasure for the happiness and satisfaction of Radha Govinda Yuga, which is the focal point of every devotee in Vrindavan. Bringing them together, bringing the divine couple together, and relishing the happiness and bliss that they enjoy in each other's association, and acting in a cooperative, harmonious, and loving way to bring that all about. This is Gopi Bhav. This is Braj Bhav, this is Madhurya Bhav. In fact, it's the mindset and the heart's direction of every devotee in Vrindavan. Every devotee in Vrindavan loves Radharani, whether they're Nanda Baba, Vrishabhanu, or Jatila, or Katila. They ultimately love Radharani and Krishna, and they're acting in their own way, externally, apparently unfavorable or against, or directly favorable and positive, or negative. But it's all actually positive. Because the end result of all the activities, the paksha sakis and vipakshas, the favorable sakis and unfavorable sakis, and the nasty mother-in-laws and the suspicious daughter-in-laws and the suspicious katilas and nasty jatilas, it all increases Krishna's joy and happiness and Radharani's thrill and excitement in her meeting with Krishna, and it deepens her own love and deepens her own surrender and expressions of pleasing seva. Oh, there's Chandravali. If there's no Chandravali, Radharani would, what we say, kick back. She would lay, oh, I'm number one. There's no competition. What does competition do? It strengthens the competitor. If you have competition, then you have to be, that means it's a battle. It's you against them or whatever. So then, oh, this someone has a business right next to yours and selling the same product. And that's called competition. and he cut his prices half of yours. And you think, oh, this is, I have to do something to get business. So Chandravali, her presence, although, oh, why did, because some people ask, why isn't there just Radharani and Krishna and it's all sunshine and blossoming flowers and everyone's smiling? And why? Because it increases Radharani's love. I have to be better than Chandravali. I have to really attract Krishna's attention. And then Krishna, it's just dynamism in love and a little bit beyond our calculations sometimes, but this is what makes the spiritual world interesting, is that we can't figure it out. We're enchanted, we're compelled, we're attracted, and we're mad to go there. At least we're trying our level best to qualify for that acceptance. And until then, we'll marvel at the contrast and marvel at the conflicts and marvel at all the sweetness that peers before our eyes and drips into our hearts in small little ways according to our adhikar and the softness of our hearts. And we all know what we're dealing with there. So Lord Chaitanya, it's actually very much favorable to hear about the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about Gopi Bhav, really all about Gopi Bhav. I challenge anyone, I mean, all, with all blessings and encouragement, whatever sthayi rati one has by some unknown mercy of last life or this life, one is interested in being a coward boy or Krishna's mother, father. I have some devotees writing to me from South America. They want to be like Mother Yashoda. Can you please guide me how to develop Vatsalya Rati? That's quite a challenge. So I'm trying my best, because Madhurya Rati includes all the flavors, like the earth has all everything, sound and form and touch and smell, and everything is in earth. So all the five ratis and loving moods and ideas are also, Dasya is also a Madhurya, and nourishing and motherhood and feeding. You know, mothers, what do? Mothers correct, mothers teach, mothers protect, and mothers nourish, and mothers feed. Radharani does all that with Krishna. She protects him from Chandravali. Don't waste your time with her. I've got it all. So he protects Krishna. She cooks for Krishna. He won't even eat. He's playing with Yashoda's food. And he's playing with Yashoda's food that she cooks. He's looking at what Rohini cooks. And he's wondering and waiting when Radharani's going to come and give her preparations. This is in the evening, because Radharani's not there to look at, but she's there to savor. In the morning, Krishna can savor her with his eyes and heart and his rasana, his tongue. In Hindi, the tongue is called rasana, which means tongue. We say jiva mandir, rasana. So he relishes so much beauty and sweetness and happiness, and Radharani is personally there in his house, in his kitchen, cooking for him. But in the evening time, she sends all kinds of little tiffins, like all our little Indian housewives are always sending their tiffins everywhere, one to the daughter, one to the son, one to the husband. Tiffins are tiffin traveling. They're masters of tiffin packing and traveling and keeping just hot and cold and everything. I have friends and God sisters and God brothers in Delhi, and they cook things, cool things and warm things, and they bring all kinds of things here for Giriraj's pleasure. And I say, what's this? Oh, this is cold preparations in this foam box with dry ice, and this is hot and a warm plate and this and that and insulation. And there's so many ways to bring hot food and cold food. It's like an unlimited science, and it can't help but transport me into the Tanishtha and Brinda and Tulsi and Rati Manji are carrying various tiffins and clay pots and whatever, the Radharani's tiffin sets. Can only imagine Radharani's tiffin sets. They weren't stainless steel, but brass pots and clay pots and with leaves. And because as you know, or you may not know, but one of the best heat preservers is leaves. Like if you... Like my friends sometimes, some friends of mine, they're Brahmins in Nandagram, and they're cooking rotis or what do you call this? Malpua, and they wrap it up in some type of local leaves, and then they tie strings around it and get on their motorcycle and they bring it to me in home delivery. Malpua from, Nandavas. Can't beat it. So they would come and I say, and they say, take it now. And I said, it's hot. It's still hot, and it's just wrapped in some leaves. said, yeah, this is our ancient way. This is our ancient insulated pack, you know, our special foam pack and insulation, all the modern things we have. I said, when did you cook this? Oh, this is the morning at 7 o'clock, and this is like 10 o'clock in the morning, piping hot. So this is Braj. So in Madhurya Ras, Krishna's lovers are completely fixed and attached to Krishna and his seva due to the Braj Gopi's excessive mamata, which is feelings of possessiveness, mindness, the Braj Gopis have. They have the greatest feelings of friendship and caring for Krishna. It's just a prelude. One acharya that we used to hear from is not with us anymore. But he said, it's a very nice phrase. He said, you're a bhakta, or at least you're trying to be bhakta. He's speaking to me. You're trying to be a Krishna bhakta. And it's very necessary to develop, we don't have, of course, but to develop and cultivate feelings of possessiveness. Krishna is mine. I mean, deep feelings. Because we may say that with our lips, but our hearts don't feel that. Our hearts feel possessiveness for my body and my wife, my husband, my friends, etc. And that's good. And that's a sign of attachment, mindness, and it's a sign of love, which is all very good and necessary for the peaceful functioning of the world. But when we enter transcendence or approach transcendence, we also have to transcend that type of possessiveness and develop true, genuine, heartfelt, heartfelt and heart-realized possessiveness for Bhagavan and everything to do with him. My Vrindavan and my Radharani and my Krishna, my Lalita and my Vishakha and my Guru Sakhi and like this. It's easier said than done. Because we have lifetimes, untold thousands and millions of lifetimes of living in bodies and having feelings of possessiveness. Even if we're in the body of a monkey or in the body of a dog, this chitta, this mentality, this abhiman mentality of possessiveness is there. It's easy. Open your eyes, see anywhere. The monkey is so possessive for a little baby monkey. It seems so callous the way the mother takes care of the baby. He says, look, you hold on to my back and you hold on, you know, the analogy, the kitten and the monkey. You hold on to my back, we're going to jump across. If you don't hold tight, you're going to fall on the street and die. So somehow the monkey understands all that, and he holds tight and the mother goes, doing, and lands there. But it's the mother is sitting there eating some chickpeas and Junior is playing here and there, jumping around being nonsense monkey. And then as soon as some object of danger comes, some Brijbasi teenager, very dangerous, biggest, worst monkeys, and then, or some dog, the mother is so nonchalant and apparently not caring, and little Junior monkey is jumping here and there doing nonsense. As soon as she sees any danger, she immediately runs and grabs Junior and throws him on her back and runs away, or pulls little baby monkey to her chest and looks very watchfully, what's going, where's that dog, where's this Brijbasi boy, to care and protect her offspring or sibling or whatever you want to call it, baby. That's mamata. That's possessiveness. So it's there in a gross, ferocious, dangerous beast or animal, a tiger for his cubs. You try to go to a tiger, has a little baby cub. Oh, let me. You'll be inside the mother's belly. You try to play around or do nonsense with a little tiger cub. So this possessiveness is so deeply rooted in our chitta, in our consciousness. It's very hard to transcend material possessiveness. But it's absolutely necessary. So this acharya that's no longer with us, he said, don't be minus. He knows a little English. He said, don't be minus myness for Krishna. You follow? Minus in English means subtraction, minus, M-I-N-U-S. Don't be minus myness, M-Y-N-E-S-S. Don't be devoid or without mamata or possessiveness for Krishna. And we're trying. That's one of the main, do you know, maybe you don't know, but now you'll know. What is the main reason to have murtis? It's not to, you know, show your expertise in sewing and dressing and painting and decorating and interior design and all the things we can do with Gaur Thakur, our personal murtis and backdrops and cloth and all so many fancy, beautiful, colorful, opulent things. That's very nice and also necessary. But what is the essential, basic purpose of it all anyway? So we won't ask for answers, but you can privately answer within yourself. There's two purposes, and these are the main purposes, which have very little to do with the externals, but everything to do with the internals. The internals means our svabhav and our abhiman, our nature and our mentality. So what are the two things? To develop the sense of possessiveness towards God, Krishna Mamata, and personhood. You can say to develop the psychology and psyche and feelings of personhood, personalism or personhood, and possessiveness. So we see it in a rudimentary way amongst the Bhakta Samaj, the group of devotees, when you say, oh, you're a devotee, you have diksha? Yes, I have diksha. Do you have a Thakurji? Oh, you haven't seen my Krishna? You haven't seen my Radharani, my Giriraj? Have you ever heard this expression? In Russian, they say this also. And different languages, Hindi. Mera, Meri Thakurani, Mera Thakur. So this is good. This is the purpose. This is the main purpose. This is the main purpose of having Murti or doing Murti Puja. It can be Chitra. Chitra Murti. You can have a picture of Radha and Krishna. They're fully there. If you're a person, they're a person. The picture is a person. If you have personal feelings and sense of possessiveness for them, that picture will take possession of you. Because it's not a picture, it's Krishna. It's not it, it's he. He is Krishna and she is Radharani. In any form, in the mental form, you can be possessed. Like sometimes people have a psychological aberration. They're diseased or deformed. So they say the person is possessed. You know, he's ghostly haunted. He's possessed. So we want to be possessed by the quality of possession. So if one has an internal murti, manasik murti, they're seeing, someone might say, what color do you think Krishna is? What color, when you see Krishna in your mind, what color is he? And then you can download 100 different pictures and paintings of Krishna from the internet, from indigo. Some people say that Krishna is indigo blue. Indigo is very deep, deep blue with a touch of purple. Indigo. And then it's like from indigo, deep dark purple, to a baby Gopal blue. You know, baby blue, the very light sky blue, baby Gopals. So there's a vast gamut of blue, the range of blue, spectrum of blue. So what do you see? You know, because the words in English cannot convey the vision that you'll see. So the vision is your own. And that murti will take possession of your mind. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Rupa Goswami Pad and all of us. Madhura Rase Krishna, Nishta Seva Atishai, Sakyar Ashankocha, Lalala, Mamata Adikaya Haya. So we have Madhura Rase Krishna Nishta Seva Atishai. Atishai means very expert rendering of service. Atishai means very expert, like we say Mahashai. Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya. Mahashaya means he's a very expert and greatest of great personalities. So Atishaya means Madhura Rase Krishna Nishta Seva Atishaya. Sakira Asankoch Lalana Mamata Adik Hai. He says, on the platform of Madhurya Ras, we're speaking about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. The subject is the Ras Leela. This is your references from Chaitanya Charitamritam. So in Madhura Ras, attachment for Krishna and rendering service to him. So in Madhura Ras Krishna Nishta, so on a level of Madhura Ras, the devotees are fully Nishta. They're fully fixed in Krishna's pleasure and happiness. Anokalyena Krishnanu. Anokalyena Krishnanu. Shilanam. Then it says, Seva, Krishna Nishta Seva, Atishai. And they're very expert. Devotees are very, they're fixed in their service and they're very expert. We're talking about Madhura Ras. There's no greater servants than the gopis. That's why Radharani is called Radhika. And we just covered the verse in 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 28. Anaya Aradita Nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvaraha. That Radharani, she is the greatest Araranam, worshipper of Krishna. Nunam means certainly. Certainly, Radharani is the greatest worshipper and servant of Krishna. And everyone else, all the other servants, whether it's Subal and Sridham, or Yashoda and Nanda, or Raktak and Patrak, or Danishta, or any of the servants in other rasas, Dasi Ras, or Saki Ras, or Vatsalya, they all take their lead and their indication for service and how to please Krishna from Radharani and the gopis. Because, as I mentioned earlier, Yashoda's cooking Krishna's breakfast, Rohini's cooking Krishna's breakfast, but then when Radharani comes, Yashoda goes in the kitchen with Rohini and says, Rohini, please show me all the preparations that Radharani has made for Krishna. So then Rohini says, she's made this and this and this. Oh, Rohini, what is this preparation? And Rohini, Yashoda asks, and Rohini says, I really don't know. You have to, only Radharani knows these secret recipes and these secret ingredients. Radharani, can you tell us? Radharani's very laja. She's lajeshri. Lajeshri means she's the epitome and empress of shyness and innocence and childlike nature and that sweet innocence of a chaste young girl. She's only 14. So she's a little shy to speak before her mothers. These are her elders. And so they have to coax her. Oh, please tell us. Oh, I first fried cheese and ghee, and then I did this and that, and then I made this dough, and they're saying, oh. And then Yashoda says, only that Yashoda glorifies Radharani. She says, you are Mishtahana. You are Mishtahana. Mishtahana means sweet hands, because everything she touched, everything Radharani touches becomes nectar, becomes very sweet. Even people or devotees, if Radharani touches us, we become sweet. We become nectar. So she says, Yashoda says, you're Mishtahana. Your hand, anything you touch is so sweet and it becomes amritam. And Krishna, as soon as we see him and Rohini goes in and encourages him, come on, Lala, hey, Nandalal, eat something. Your belly is flat and you look so weak and you're out cowering all day and you could hardly get up. You must be so hungry and such a big appetite. You're a young, robust boy. And he's going, yes, yes, Janani, yeah, okay. And then Rohini says, Yashoda, he's not eating anything. No, just wait. Radharani, wait till we serve Radharani's preparations. And then as soon as Krishna starts eating Radharani's preparations, well, this is really good. And then they're all, and Yashoda and Rohini are watching. Oh, we're his mother? I'm also his mother? Rohini, but how? We don't know how to cook. Mothers are supposed to nourish the baby and nourish and feed the child. But his girlfriend, which they're not thinking, they're just singing Radharani, they're thinking this girl is not even his mother. She knows how to cook better than we do. So therefore, all the type of loving sentiments or feelings of all the five rasas are fully and most richly found in Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Rase Krishna Nishta Seva Atishai. So therefore, everyone takes their lead. No one is a better mother of Krishna than Radharani. No one is a better friend of Krishna than Radharani. No one is a better servant of Krishna than Radharani. No one is a better supporter, or you can say neutral supporter, or supporter. That's what the Shantaras does. Shantaras gives a background and supports and foundation. No one gives a better support or foundation or background to Krishna's Leela than Radharani. So in all five rasas, Radharani is supreme. Vrindavane Sri Radharani ki jai. Madhura Rase Krishna Nishta Seva Atishai. Sakya Ashankocha Lalana Mamata Adik Hai. So I was speaking about Mamata, and that's what we're presenting here. So on the platform of Madhura Ras, everyone is obviously Krishna Nishta Seva Atishai. Everyone's fully attached to Krishna, and they're very concerned to make their service just perfect. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also emphasized that point. We should give our best to Krishna. And this is, I know in the country I hail from, we have an expression. If you're going to do something, do it right. Do it right the first time, and it's done right forever. Do it. If you're going to do something, do it right. Do it right, which means perfectly, correct, best you can do. Do it right the first time, and it's done right forever. If you do half-baked or half-quality job, then it breaks in 5 weeks. So the gopis are, and the devotees in general, are very expert. And their atishai means this, that they serve Krishna perfectly. We always feel it's never good enough. These are very healthy feelings in bhakti. And many devotees I've associated with, they tell me, oh, and they do wonderful service, but their feeling is, their sentiment is, I don't think I've done very well. I don't think I cooked very well, or I don't think I made this outfit very well. But then people are saying, no, it's very perfect. No. So this kind of feeling of inadequacy, although you're trying your best and maybe even perfectly executed because you're skilled in that particular field, but the sense of inadequacy or the sense of disqualification to please Krishna is very healthy. It's actually a sign of genuine bhakti in the heart. That one feels, I don't have any qualification to serve. Because I have many friends, especially the Indian people, they're very expert. They're very expert cooks and whatnot. And they're amazing. But then they feel, oh, this isn't very good. Is it okay? It's not very... So this type of humility, where a devotee is a symptom of Sharanagati, where one never feels that the service that he's rendering is quite... It's not really perfect. Even Yashoda and Rohini, they're thinking, we're cooking for Krishna, we're cooking for Radharani. Excuse me, we're cooking for Krishna. But Krishna is only playing with his food in the morning and then Pratak Leela, 6 a.m. to 8:24, he's taking his breakfast. But when Radharani's preparations come, then he eats with such enthusiasm, happiness. And Mother Yashoda's thinking, what is it? What is it? We cook, I'm his mother. And yet he loves Radharani's food more. And so that missing element is Radharani has so much mamata, so much possessiveness, and so much mindness for Krishna that she's one with Krishna.